All right, good morning. How are we doing? It's been like 3 months since we've been here. Feels weird, right? But it feels like, someone said it feels like home. I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing, that the parking lot feels like home. I'll take it as a good thing. I mean, honestly, right now, I'll take all the good news that I can get. Now, a couple of quick announcements here. Obviously, we're here in person this morning, and next week we will be online for one final week, and then 2 weeks from today, so the 18th of April, we're going to be going back to weekly services. So we are, we're being resurrected. Had to do it. Thank you. Yes. We're being awakened. Now, for April and for May, we'll be outdoors. So if there is bad weather, temperature should be fine. But if it rains or something, then everything will be moved to online for that week. And there'll be an email, you know, by Sunday morning to let you know about that. And then as a board, we are planning to move back indoors June or July. So we'll keep you updated with that one kind of as we move a little closer. But that is going to happen June or July, and then you're indefinite from there because there's no bad weather when you're under a building. So we're getting back to more normal, I guess you could say, ever so slowly. But we're getting there. So 2 weeks, every week, we're back here again. And, you know, it was so much fun just watching everyone. We decided that we were going to start the service a little bit later because everyone was just having so much fun talking to each other and seeing each other. It really has been 3 months. And it's nice that we're all back here together again and that none of you moved to Florida. Now, this morning, we are celebrating resurrection. We are celebrating that the tomb is empty. And if I have to be completely honest with you, this week I have been in absolutely no mood to preach a resurrection sermon. Oh, man. Yeah, what a week this has been. So if you're not familiar or if you want any updates, I mean, there were updates by the hour. I'd get home every single night and I would tell Steph what's going on, and there would be like a half hour of updating I would have to do because it was just everything was happening so quickly this week. We had a flood in our basement, which flooded out the bathroom and then an office. And then from there, as they started pulling things up, one thing after the next started getting discovered. So we have like massive amounts of asbestos apparently in the house. So there's mold in different places in the house. So we've moved out of the house. They turned off our heat, our hot water, because we had a gas leak as well. If you were on the live service last week, I had to leave early because we were smelling natural gas and had to run out to the street, call Con Ed. And then our son had a peanut allergy, had to rush him to the urgent care Sunday afternoon of last week. So let's just say it's been a pretty rough couple of weeks for us. And honestly, the absurdity of it just makes me want to laugh because everyone is safe and everyone's healthy. And that is something to be thankful for because not everyone has that. So whenever you're going through a difficult time, you have to remind yourself of the things that are good. You have to remind yourself that things could be a whole lot worse. And I have a new best friend. His name is Charles. He's been coming to my house. I've been spending massive amounts of time with him. I joke that I'm having an affair with Charles because I see him more than my wife. And he's our environmental inspector. So the two of us poke around the house together. He tells us what to do. He's kind of like a project manager at this point. So we say, Charles is in charge. And the other day, I was talking. Thank you. It's a reference to a 90s Scott Baio TV show, Charles in Charge. So me and Steph sing that song, and Reese doesn't understand what we're singing. But Charles actually lives around the corner right here in Ardsley. The other day, we were back at the house again, hanging out. We were in the attic, crawling around the attic, swabbing for mold. I guess that's what I do when I hang out these days. And, you know, we're in the driveway, and he was finishing up filing his report. And he tells me, he's like, you know, one of these days, I'm no longer going to be in your life. And this other person is going to be much more prominent in your life. And I'll tell you the truth, I spent so much time with Charles that I actually got a little sad. Now, it's a good thing for me not to see Charles, because that means that my house is clean. It's been cleared and there's no more crap in my house. But Charles has been a reassuring presence throughout all of this for me. He just goes in. He knows what he's doing. He says, this is all going to get worked out. He said, I had a tree fall on my house a couple of years ago, and it fell actually in a room where my family was. But they were all safe. They were all okay. He said, that's what's important in life, that your family's safe, that everyone's okay. This other stuff, it's cosmetic. Yeah, it's dangerous and needs to get taken care of course, but your family's okay. Everyone's healthy. You have another place where you can go and stay. You have another place where you actually have heat and hot water. I go to my house every single morning, and literally, my fingers are white. That's why I'm probably still cold. It can be 70 degrees, and I'm probably still thawing out because I was over there this morning. And I just go and I make coffee, and I just wrap my hands around that mug because I try to get all the heat that I can get when I'm inside that house. But Charles is right. And see, I think that to me is, it's the power of resurrection. And I want to talk about my favorite resurrection story, which is found in Luke chapter 24. And there's a couple different resurrection accounts and different stories all at the end of the Gospels. But Luke 24, this one particular story, every time I read it, it does something different to me. I see something different that I hadn't seen before. And I've preached on this one before, but then I read it again and I realized, ooh, there's way more going on here than what I realized initially. There's deeper truths that are being communicated that a year ago I pulled something else out of it, but now I look at it from a different angle, a different perspective. I've changed. I've experienced something different in my life. And then you see something that takes you a little deeper into the story. I mean, that is the brilliance of the Bible. You can read it, but it hits you differently every single time you read the stories and the words. You see it from a different perspective. So here's Luke chapter 24, verse 13. Now that same day being the day of resurrection, the women have already gone to the tomb. They found it empty. And now here we are on the same day, a little later in the day. Two of the disciples, the followers of Jesus, they were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. All right, let's stop right here. Plenty here for us to talk about. Some people ask, how can you preach for a half an hour on one verse? How can you not? Like, why do you need 15 verses when there is enough truth buried in one verse? I mean, sometimes all I need is a word, and it just takes you to all these different places. So here we go. We have one verse. The same day. Okay, what I find really interesting about this is Easter morning is normally, you wake up in the morning and it's a glorious morning. We were joking last night, so we're staying with my in-laws and Steph's brother and sister-in-law and their daughters living there as well because they've been displaced because of COVID. So it is a full house inside this house. I think they're running the dishwasher twice a day. That's how many dishes are being produced in the house right now. Awful for the septic system. Now, what I find interesting about this verse is that you wake up in the morning. Oh, this is what I was saying, right? So there's been a tomb that I guess my brother-in-law had put up in the kitchen made out of rocks. And they made a Jesus figure out of clay. And they put the Jesus figure inside this tomb on Good Friday. And he was telling us, after all the kids went to bed last night, he's like, hey, whoever's up early in the morning, you need to come down here and you need to roll the stone out of the way. You got to take the Jesus figure out and the cloth that he's wrapped in, you have to kind of like rip it up, place it by the tomb, and then go hide Jesus somewhere around the house. And we're like, all right. And we're like trying to figure out who's going to do it, who's going to be the first one up. And then my mother-in-law comes in and she's like, why don't you just do it right now? All the kids are already in bed. We're like, yes, didn't think about that. The thing about Easter is you wake up in the morning, and if you've done a couple of Easters before, and my guess is most of you have all done a few Easters before. This isn't your first rodeo, right? It's not your first Easter. You all know the story, right? Any surprises here? Like resurrection happens? The thing about Easter is you wake up, and you're like, hallelujah, the tomb is empty. But look at this. The same day, two of them were going to a village. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them. They were kept from recognizing him, and he asked them, what are you discussing together as you walk along? And they stood still, their faces downcast. So here we are, the first Easter, and the disciples are feeling defeated. Like for them, they didn't wake up Easter morning or like, oh, hallelujah, the tomb is empty. Christ is risen. The day started in defeat. The first Easter began in darkness. Think about the women going to the tomb. You think they expected the tomb to be empty? They were traveling there with spices because they were going to anoint Jesus' body because there was going to be a stench from a dead body. They weren't going there expecting the tomb to be empty. So when we celebrate Easter, resurrection, we have to remember even resurrection morning begins in darkness. Where are these disciples traveling? To Emmaus, which Luke tells us is 7 miles from Jerusalem. Why is this important? Because Luke's saying these disciples are heading home. Easter morning comes, and they checked out of the hotel in Jerusalem where they were staying, and they're heading back to their house because it's game over. They were disciples, followers of Jesus. They had placed all their hope in this person they believed to be the Messiah, and he went and got himself killed. Messiah saviors aren't supposed to go and get themselves killed. I mean, think about any Marvel superhero movie that you watch. The hero doesn't go and get himself or herself killed. They go and they kill the bad guys. Here is this Messiah, Jesus. He gets killed. And that's the end of the movement. And so now these two disciples, they're on their way home, traveling the 7 miles to Emmaus, back to where they live, by foot. They didn't have a car where they could blast some Taylor Swift to put them in a better mood. They had to walk. They didn't have Discman or iPhones that they could play some music on. I mean, think about how long that walk would have been. Think about how heavy every single footstep would have felt. Here they are traveling home. Jesus comes alongside them. They don't recognize Jesus. And he's like, hey, what's going on here? They're like, seriously, where are you from? Have you not heard everything that's just happened? Are you dull, man? Like, you don't know that all of our hopes were just crushed? That everything that we had put our faith in just came crashing down? And Jesus is like, oh, tell me about all this. So they go on and they tell him all about Jesus, to which Jesus is like, hey, they're talking about me. They still don't recognize Jesus at the time. Then it continues a little further, verse 28. As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus acted as if he were going farther. And the disciples, they urged him strongly, stay with us, for it's nearly evening. The day is almost over. So again, almost the entire Easter day has passed, and these disciples are still depressed. The whole day, the tomb for them is still full. The tomb is not empty for them on that first Easter morning. There is a darkness, a heaviness that's pervading their entire existence. It's like they have those clouds, right? Think about Pigpen and Charlie Brown. There's this cloud of dust, a storm that's following over them everywhere they're traveling. And now they get to their home. Jesus is going to go a little bit farther, and they're like, hey, why don't you stay with us? It's getting dark. It's going to be dangerous. There could be bandits. So Jesus goes in to stay with them. When he was at the table, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. And then I love this verse. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him. It's Jesus. And what does Jesus do? He disappeared from their sight. He punks them. You recognize me? I am gone. Verse 32, they asked each other, were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us? Were not our hearts burning within us? See, as they were walking on the road with Jesus, there was something happening on their insides. There was something, a feeling, you might call it, a sense, something that they couldn't put into words, something that they couldn't describe, but it was burning within their hearts. Wasn't something burning within us as we walked and talked with Jesus on the road? But they weren't aware of it. How about this one? They weren't awakened to that reality, to that truth. They weren't able to recognize what was happening. They didn't recognize the resurrected Christ with them, present to them in all that they were experiencing. Why? Because they were focused on their externals. They were focused on that which was outside of themselves. I think about my life right now, and my goodness, is it overwhelming. Like I said, I got to find any reason to laugh and smile these days. And I'm sure many of you, you might find yourself in such a situation as well. We were talking this morning a little bit about your situation. We're all facing different things that have the potential to overwhelm us, do we not? Whether it's today, maybe it was a week ago, maybe it's a month from now. When we focus on our externals, the things that are outside of ourselves, the things that in reality we really can't control. I can't control what was discovered in my house. I can't control the fact that we had to leave the house. Can't control any of it. When we focus on the externals, that which is outside of ourselves, it's easy to feel defeated. It's natural to feel as if we're walking in darkness, to lose a bit of hope. And then here's the disciples. Weren't our hearts burning inside of us? There was something going on inside our being that was stronger than that which was outside of ourselves. I love this verse in Romans. This is Romans chapter 8. This is the Apostle Paul, verse 11. And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who lives in you. Anyone need to hear that truth this morning? The same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is alive within you. Yeah. It's pretty powerful, is it not? This is what Paul's recognized. The same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, it's at work within you, bringing hope and new life, new beginnings, possibility to your very existence. See, so what do you do when you get overwhelmed with life? What do you do when the waves are crashing over you? When outside of yourself, it's all crashing down, it's all falling apart. You stop for a moment. You breathe deep. You muster a smile. And you remind yourself, the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is alive and at work within you. You remind yourself that what's within you is stronger than anything that you're facing. You remind yourself that that which is burning within your heart, which we don't always recognize or allow ourselves to recognize, is more powerful than anything that's outside of yourself. And you begin seeing the world through a different lens. See, what happens is when we are focused on that which is outside of ourselves, we begin playing scared. We begin to live with this defeatist mentality. That is going to overtake me. That is going to crush my spirit. that is going to leave me exhausted on the floor. And so we need people like what we have here. I mean, that's why church is so powerful. It's not the service. It's the people. It's what we had here before the actual service started. Church didn't start when the first chord was hit up there. Church, I mean, honestly, it didn't even start when we started gathering together. It started long before that. But church is a gathered assembly. It's us coming together, witnessing together to that which we have experienced in life, reminding and encouraging one another. You're not alone. It feels like it at times, and it's been a year of isolation. It's been a year of difficulty. It's been a year where we've been threatened to lose hope and feel like, how are we going to make it through this? And that's why we need each other. I mean, think about if the Spirit's within you and you and you and you, think about the power that happens when we gather together and we remind ourselves of that truth. Yeah, sometimes on your own, it can feel overwhelming. We need each other because we need to tell each other the things of which we forget. That's what happens in life. I once was told that when you preach, you're not telling anyone anything new. You're simply reminding people of that which they already know. I'm not telling you anything new. We've all read, many of us have read those verses before, but we forget them because life has this way of beating truth out of us. It has this way of focusing our attention on the things that are outside of ourselves. So you have to find ways to remind yourself, yeah, this is what's in me. And I'll tell you the truth, as I started thinking about the sermon for this week, and that verse in Romans especially came to mind, it brought comfort, brought some healing, brought some perspective. And so, yeah, it's difficult, it's hard, but, you know, in the midst of it, I feel peace. And you all have access to that peace. Every single moment of every single day. It's why I do this. It's why I'm up here every single Sunday. Because my prayer for all of you is that you would experience that peace in every moment. Every day. Life isn't easy. No one said it was going to be easy. But there's a spirit within you. And you're going to make it through. And there's others. I mean, the fact that we have, I don't even know how many people are here, the fact that we have this many people here, it's a testimony to that truth and the power that this community has. So we're going to keep going. And we're going to take one step at a time. And we're going to continue being here for each other. We're going to continue walking through life with each other, with all the messiness and the externals that we will face this year. And however far down the road our journeys take us. And here's the truth, though. I will say this. I feel like I have a notebook of sermons just from this past week. I can't give all my gold away right now. I've got to save some for other sermons. But, you know, as Charles told me, one day I'm no longer going to be in your life. The truth is, for all of us here, there will come a moment when we all won't be in each other's lives. And think about Heiko, Romy, Matilda, they're going to be leaving us just a couple of short months. So you take advantage of the time that we have together. And you continue finding people who remind you of these powerful truths. Sometimes you walk with people for a couple of steps. Sometimes it's more like a mile or two. As long as you have people walking through life with you, you'll be fine. So continue to seek out those. I'm watching a lot of Star Trek right now to comfort me. Seek out new life and new civilizations. Yeah, continue seeking out those people who will remind you that the resurrected Christ is always there with you, walking with you, whispering, trying to open your eyes to the hope that is right there before you. Let me pray for us. God, thank you for today. God, I thank you for this service. Thank you for this community. Thank you for the power that this community has. God, the hope that Awaken provides. God, I pray that this powerful truth, God, that the same Spirit that resurrected Jesus is alive and at work within us. I pray that that truth, God, that we would trust that truth this morning, that we would live in that reality. God, whatever it is that we are facing right now, whatever our external circumstances are, God, I pray that the Spirit within us would be stronger. So may we focus on that Spirit. May we do whatever we need to do to remind ourselves of this powerful, life-giving Spirit that resides within. May we come to experience the resurrected Christ right now, wherever we find ourselves. So God, open our eyes, whisper to our hearts. God, I pray that all of our hearts would be burning within right now, and that we would be filled with hope for ourselves, for our situations, for right where we find ourselves this morning. We pray and ask all this in the name of Jesus. Amen.